through with what we were talking about, I was getting ready this morning, and I was thinking, I heard something about Israel, and I got to thinking, I wonder, you know, in Matthew 24, it talks about wars and rumors of wars. And I was thinking, I wonder if it's possible to look that up. How many wars are going on right now on the planet? How many rumors of wars, you know, like the Chinese going and repossessing Taiwan, and so many, you know, other things. Because, you know, you look at some of the things that it talks about there, and you think, dear Lord, I mean, we're right here, right? You know, we've heard of wars and rumors of wars, but not to the intensity that we're seeing now. Yeah. Famines, droughts, you know, all these things. And it has just escalated in the last few years. And you think, hello, wake up. The Lord is almost here.
Yes. Yes.
Whew. You know, there's people that get nervous about that, and they think, you know, is this rapture thing really, really true? I mean, we're going to go up, you know. And some people get nervous about that. They look at their junk around here, you know, and they think, do I really want to leave all of this? If you could see what you're going to, you would think, come on, let's go. Oh. But it's so much closer than what we realize. And as such, I think the intensity of the Lord's desires, now listen real close, the intensity of His desires have intensified even more. Because he recognizes the fact that the time is short, shorter than what we think. I've been hearing more of the Lord appearing to Muslims. And it was, you know, we think about Muslims in the Muslim part of the world. But there, he was appearing to Muslims here in the United States. You know, they have a voice back home. And when they write or call home and said, Mom, listen to this. Listen to, Jesus appeared to me. You know, things like that. Well, that spreads at home. And that's happening more.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm hearing more Jews getting saved.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yes.
So we entitled this message, Are You Being What God Called You to Be? You know, we are to be a reflection of Him to people around us. Hello. Something that was I shared this last week. Something that has been bothering me is people that have stopped coming to church because they got into sin. And you know, you people think, oh, what did they get into? Well, telling a lie, that's a sin.
Yeah.
And then you can just jack it up all the way down.
Yeah.
It's all sin.
Yeah.
But We're the ones that put the degree of intensity on it. But before the Lord, sin is sin. Period.
That's right.
But there have been people that they've got off into something and they've stopped walking with the Lord. And the problem is they are miserable and they want to come back. They remember what it was like when they were walking with the Lord before they broke fellowship. And they're living in hell right now and they want to come back to where life was better. Walking with the Lord was good. But there's problems. You know, they say, there's just problems in the way. They're dealing with shame. Some people make the shame worse than what it may really be. But nevertheless, they're dealing with shame, and it's heavy on them. You know, people have walked with the Lord for a while, consistent for a while. But when they mess up, things come out that you think, don't you know better than that? They don't know. They honestly do not know if they come back, will the Lord forgive them? They don't know. They don't know if he'll take them back. And what about the church? Now listen, I'm talking to you the things that the Lord's been sharing with me. What about the church? How will the church treat me? Will they take me back and forgive me, or will they keep looking down on me? Will they keep that shame hanging over my head? Yeah, you know, that's the believer. That's the person that's been born again. Well, what about the sinner? They've never known the Lord. What about those folks? There's some of them that in their thinking, and they think, you know, well, I've done things that are so bad, I don't think the Lord would take me in. You know, you stop and think about the horrors of World War II, the things that Hitler did. Rick Sloan gave me a book on the swastika and the cross. Is that the way it was? It was talking about people that were that had been involved in the concentration camps, the death camps, different things. The atrocities of war, and a lot of them got born again. Somebody got to them and told them about Jesus, and they got born again. You know, some of the concentration camp commandants, they were in charge of these things.
Yes, amen.
And they heard Jesus would forgive them. And they had the guts to believe him.
Yes.
And they got born again.
Praise God.
That's good.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, when you think about these people, you don't have to be a Billy Graham. Okay? If that's the thing that's holding you up, there's only one of them and he's gone now. He's in heaven rooting you on. But people just need to hear that the Lord loves them even though, even though whatever they've done, he still loves them.
That's right.
And he's willing to take them back.
Amen.
You know, the sinner has some of the same roadblocks that, a lot of Christians have. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're for.
Yeah.
To tell them.
Yes.
So they'll know.
That is true.
And then we come back to where the sinner was or is, how will people in the church treat me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a little town like this, everybody knows everything. But one of the paramount things that you need to know is the blood of Jesus will cleanse them, make them just as pure as you think you are. And that's one thing that we should be jumping up and down shouting about, that
yes.
I'm clean, I've been forgiven, I've been sanctified
yes.
by the blood.
Yes.
Not by my credits,
right.
but by him.
Yes.
You know, these are real problems. I mean, if you're facing hell and these are the things that are in the way, you want those things to be dealt with so you can get born again. Okay? John chapter 3. You know, when it comes to religious things, many people are confronted with shame. Where does shame come from? Think about this for a minute. John chapter 3, look at verse 16. For God so loved. Can you give me some slack on this?
Yes.
For God so loved the sinner that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn. Did not send his Son. You know, the Jewish religious leadership were so jealous of Jesus. It says that the people went out to Jesus to hear him. And the way the scripture talks, they were multitudes of people that went. Jesus wasn't beating them over the head because they were doing this and that. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For this is the condemnation, that the light came, the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The people's deeds were evil back then, just like they are now, but Jesus wasn't condemning them. You know, stop and think about that. If you take yourself back before you were born again, if people were condemning you for what you were into, would you have come forward? Would you have said, I want this. I want another dose of condemnation. No. Go with me over to Joel chapter 2. Condemnation can lead to shame. Jesus came to set people free from condemnation, and bring them into life. Joel chapter 2, verse 27. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Well, let's change this around. I am in the midst of the church. You listening?
Yes.
He's in our midst right now. I am the Lord your God, and there's no other. My people shall never be put to shame.
Amen.
You know, if you color, you underline, whatever it takes to make a scripture stand out to you, you should do that to this one. Really, all these that we're talking about. Romans 10 and 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And as I look around, I see believers, people that have been born again for the most part. So, you know, if there's anything trying to bring shame on you, that's not God. That is not. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, he's writing to believers. Yes. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured your shame so you don't have to.
Yes, amen.
Christians, believers, born-again people should be so thrilled that I'm free from shame.
Yes, amen.
I'm free. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter. First Peter 2, verse 6. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who disobey, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And that's not the word. Let's back up a scripture. Verse 7. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is what the whole building sets on. The chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Let's go over to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. And we're going to start in verse 11. Jesus is teaching and he says, a certain man, this is not a parable. This is something that actually transpired. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. You know, this is something that usually doesn't happen till the father dies. So he divided to them, He gave to the older son and the younger son. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, picked up all of his junk, put it in his bag, and journeyed to a far country. And there, partied. And there, wasted his possessions. The older brother got twice as much. The younger got half as much. But he took it all of his possessions, wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Prodigal living. Wasteful is what the note in my margin says. So he's sleeping in the morning, staying up late, partying, drinking, doing whatever. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe. You know, there's some famines, things, you have a drought, things are not growing very well. But here it is a severe famine in that land. And he began to be in want. He doesn't have anything, doesn't have any money. He's blown it all. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. This is not Israel. These are pagans. Okay, we're outside of Israel. Who knows where? And the citizen of the country sent him to his fields to feed the little lambs. Pigs. These were an abomination. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, finally the day comes that he wakes up. He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare?" It's not hand to mouth. They've got spare things to feed people with. "And I perish with hunger. I will arise." You see, he's come to himself. His pride has been stripped away. He's humiliated. He's down to the point where he will humble himself. "I will arise," this is something that's coming out of his heart. "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I should no longer be called your servant. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when his father was, when he was still a great way off," so apparently father had quite a bit of property, and he's walking down the road, and they're sitting on the front porch one evening, and they see him coming. Father says to the wife, "Martha, that looks like Johnny. He walks like Johnny." And he was still a great way off. And I don't think it was by accident the father was sitting there looking. He was expecting. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he's been out there playing with the pigs all this time. Can you imagine how bad he smells? And his son said to him, "Father," notice he doesn't try to wiggle out of the heartfelt decision that he'd made. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father stopped his speech. He didn't let him finish it. But the father said to the servant, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Notice, he says to the servant, go get the best robe, the ring, and sandals, and bring them. I don't want him going into the house looking like this. I don't want his mama to see him like this. Sneak him in the back door where he can get a bath and use some of my cologne, you know, that good stuff. Not the stuff I buy at Walmart, but the good stuff I get at Dillard's. Use that. And bring the fatted calf, and let's have a party. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They began, all of them that were there began to be merry. You notice how the father set the tone? He didn't browbeat the son when he got there. Well, you see what you see, I tried to tell you all this time, and this is what happens. So that's the way it is. You're just going to have to. It says, he saw him coming and had compassion. Now, his older brother was not so gracious. Was in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house and heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry. The compassion wasn't there. The mercy wasn't a part of his character. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to the father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young kid that I might make merry with my friends. So now there's some things that start coming out. But as soon as this son of yours, he doesn't even claim him as his brother. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. Whew, how do you know? Were you there? Were you watching? You kill the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. All you had to do is come and get it. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Yeah, I want to read some passages to you, you know, for your sake, and so that things that you can share with others. The Lord has compassion. He sees that these people want to come back. He sees the sinner, that they're suffering and probably just don't know. You know, when we first came here, there was a guy in the church that said he had never heard about Jesus until he went to college. And I won't tell you what church he went to here in town. One of the bigger ones. Never heard that you must be saved. Somebody took him to a church there in Hayes, and he got born again. Now, I know some of you are looking at me like, Oh, come on. This is the United States. And he's never heard? Never heard. If he, living in the middle of the United States, has never heard, how many people, other people, have not?
Amen.
You know, these passages that I'm going to share with you, I want you to see the attitude of Father God. This is His attitude. We are His sons and daughters, and we are supposed to have the same heart, the same attitudes. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He doesn't say he's going to hang this over their head. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake. For my sake. And I will not remember your sins. You know that not, I will not. You might. Isaiah 43:25. 18. You will remember, or the enemy will come and bring them to your remembrance. But you know, when you've come to the Lord and you've repented, He says, I don't remember. You know, I heard this, Brother Copeland said this one time. He went to the Lord and he was reminding the Lord of something he had done, but he had gone and gotten forgiveness and time had passed, and he came back to the Lord and reminded him of something, and the Lord told him, he says, you know, it is in very bad taste to remind me of something that I've already forgiven you of. It's true. If it's the enemy bringing something up, or if it's something in your remembrance. Don't bring up something you've already gotten forgiveness for. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions. Blotted out. Like a cloud, your sins. Return to me, for I have, not going, have, I have redeemed you. How about, I have delivered you? Isaiah 59, verse 2. You know, these are things that are real good. They're really good to use if you want to slap the devil in the face.
Yes, amen.
Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Mm-hmm. So don't. In other words, don't stay in that place. If you've done something, get it taken care of. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Don't mess around. Get it taken care of quick. Jeremiah 31:34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. They shall all know me.
Yeah.
From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive your iniquity and your sin. I remember no more. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. So if he's not going to remember once you've gone and gotten forgiveness, why should you? I won't ask how many of you have ever done something and you just really want to forget that and not ever remember. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25. It says, your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sin has withholden good from you. So it's not good to well, it was just a little thing. Little things can become very bad. Go to the Lord quick and get that straightened out. I want to share this with you. Go over with me to 1 John. 1 John 1. I have heard ministers attribute this scripture to the lost. Look at the context of the first epistle of John. He's writing to believers, yes, not the lost. This is a family letter. Hello?
Yes.
He's writing to the child of God, the person that's been born again. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. When you're born again, your sins are not forgiven. They are totally wiped out. Totally obliterated. And you become a new person. You have a new spirit. Okay? If we confess, I call this a maintenance scripture. Thank God for it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You can depend on him every time. Yes. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? One day I came to the Lord with this scripture. I confessed my sin to him. You say, well, what'd you do? It's none of your business. My wife says he ate some Twinkies. That is her estimation of a sin. Twinkies? No. Okay, I came to the Lord, I confessed my sin to him, and I was standing on this verse. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Think about this, cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes,
amen. If the unrighteousness is cleansed away, it's gone. What's left? Your fellowship is restored. There's no unrighteousness there. You're righteous before him.
Yes, amen.
I went away from that place of prayer and went about my daily activities. But you know, I still felt down. I still felt. Do you ever have a sense when you sin, you know there's something there, and it's just. Okay, none of you folks over here. What about over here?
Yeah. I'm looking straight ahead.
Good, because I was talking to you. So, you know, I still had that sense of just kind of being down. Because I had sinned.
Yeah.
And I saw in the Word, He has cleansed me.
Yeah.
Has.
Yeah.
I have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and righteousness restored. I was, now listen real close. I want you to get this. I was going about with that down feeling. I don't know how else to put it. Trying to make myself worthy before the Lord. Like I was, you know, I want to be cleansed because I'm
yes, amen.
That was self-work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Self-effort.
Yeah.
That doesn't get it.
No,
it's His mercy,
yeah.
His faithfulness to cleanse us. Here's another thing. When you come to the Lord to confess your sins, that's not when He found out about it.
Amen.
Jesus and, you know, Gabriel's right there, and Jesus goes, oh my, He did that? No, He already knew about it. Here's, now listen, I want you to get this. I want you to get it and to know it so that you can help others.
Yes.
Here's a place where a lot of people mess up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. Many people go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up. That's not confessing your sin. That's not going to get it. And I've watched people that have struggled with some things for years and years because they have never dealt with it.
Yep.
Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. I messed up. Well, what is that? You got mud on your feet or what?
Mm-hmm.
You have to nail it.
Mm-hmm.
Name it for what it is. You say, well, I'm ashamed to go and say what I did to God. Like I said, he's not surprised. He already knows about it. Name it. Call it as it is. Call your sin what it is.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. That's right.
You've got a bad temper and a mouth. Put your finger on it. Say, God, If you don't kill it, when you go and confess it, you're going to deal with it again and again. Because you never dealt with it the first time.
Yes, amen.
That's good.
Good.
Yes. And on that note, we are going to quit. But you see, this is something I learned a long time ago. If when I first realized some things, I didn't want to name it because I was embarrassed to come to God and say something. But it's not like you're surprising Him. His mercy is there to forgive you. But unless you're willing to be honest before Him and say what you did in repentance, you'll deal with it again and again. Because
yeah.
It won't go away.
Yes, amen.
So I'll stand.
One thing that we learned long time ago, and thank God. Never tell somebody shame on you.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know, it's within the culture, shame on you for something they did, because Jesus came to take the shame away.
Yes.
You know? So don't put shame on yourself and don't put it on others. You know, in Spanish it's vergüenza. Sin vergüenza. anyway, that's just all. It may be tempting, but let us not be people that put shame. Amen.
Now that she brings it up, I called, this has been many years ago, I called, I think it was down to Dallas, Fort Worth area, to order something. And the lady that was helping me, she said, "Well, I'm sorry, we don't have that right now. We'll have to order it and send it to you." And I said, "Shame on you." You know, I mean, it's just a common thing, like God bless you in our culture. And boy, I mean, her fur stood up, and apparently her pastor had taught her. Nuh-uh. And she said, no shame on me. I thought, and when she said it, I caught it. I thought, ooh.
You know, years ago, we're learning every day. But when it all came out in the open, and our pastor's son wrote a book about it, you know, we had walked with them, and we never said anything, and we covered them, and you know, what a wonderful blood of Jesus that we have, how precious. But when the son was giving his testimony, he said when he finally came to his dad and told him, you know, what his problem had been, you know, and I say this to us as parents, he didn't say, "Well, aren't you ashamed?" You know, sometimes we want people to realize what they did and give us a pint of blood and then two, maybe. Maybe it's enough. No, I mean, you know, haven't you felt sometimes you want to tell somebody, "How much blood do you want?"
Yeah.
You know. But what a testimony it was, you remember, sweetheart? When he said, "I went to my dad," and my dad said, "Well, that must feel good to get it off your chest." That's what his dad told him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was there to lend all the support. Come on now, let's go on.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Just like that, Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Praise God.
You know, the devil is so deceitful, so deceptive. You know, he wants you just to, you know, if you do something wrong, it's okay. Just forget it and go on. Well, if you don't deal with it, then it's easy to get into something the same or worse. And you can see how it begins to build. You can just keep getting further and further away from fellowship with the Lord. Adam was in the garden. Eve was having a conversation with the serpent. And when she saw that the fruit was good to eat, she took a bite and she gave it to Adam because he was with her. And he ate. And their eyes were open. A little while later, God comes into the garden in the evening, and Adam was hiding. They were hiding. And in the course of the conversation, God came to Adam and said, "What's the deal?" And he said, "This woman that you gave me," instead of saying, "I sinned, I ate of the fruit, I'm responsible." He shucks it off on her. She passes it over to the serpent, and God comes and deals with him. Then he comes back and starts dealing with the humans. Don't try to slough something off on somebody else. Say, Lord, I sinned. I did X, Y, Z. I don't have any excuse. I knew better, but I did it. I'm wrong. And I come asking you to forgive me.
Yes, amen.
And he forgives you. He picks you up. Say, come on, let's go. We're gonna move on and have great exploits.
Amen. Amen.
This is not one of those hot jumping and shouting messages, but it'll help you. Father, we bless you this morning. We come glorifying you for your mercy in the blood of Jesus. Father, we are so thankful that you made this a part of redemption.
Thank you, Lord.
We cannot praise you enough for what you have done for us.
That's so true.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We glorify you.
Thank you,
Lord. And we looked to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our helper, our guide, our teacher. We look for his help as we go through this week. We look for opportunities to share with somebody else what Jesus is doing in our lives. What he has done and what he is doing. And we just thank you, Father, that you prepare the hearts of people for us to be able to plant seed in their hearts, that they might come to know Jesus. We thank you and give you credit and praise for this all.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll turn and greet someone around you. Next week, Pastor Webb will be here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really good.